Roto-Rooter.
Plumbing problem? Leaks are no match for DIY duct tape. And a wrench. And a towel, more duct tape, a hammer, this random tube I found in the basement, another bucket, more tape, a little more tape. Perfect.
Ah, maybe leave plumbing to the pros at Roto-Rooter.
Roto-Rooter.
B-Pod Studios.
Know the hot take.
His stupid all-star
he
game.
He still made those plays.
They now have shown they can win.
Everything Boston Sports. 98.5 The Sports Hub. This is not your conventional sports radio show.
It's tough to sit there and hold your tongue.
Ooh. Toucher and Rich. 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Here's one good offensive play. From Week 11's Patriots-Eagles game.
Edelman motions into the basket. Then motions out the right. Great pass. Throws to Mazzaletto. Edelman's looking to throw. Under pressure. To the end zone for Dorsett. A strike for a Patriots touchdown.
Oh, razzle dazzle, baby.
Here are three good defensive plays that made Scott Zolak make weird noises with his mouth.
Wentz takes the snap. Patriots send an extra rusher. Picked up before Roberts gets to the quarterback. And a second defender piles on. Patriots with a sack inside the 15.
Weird noises,
To the quarterback. Wentz takes the snap against a four-man rush with a twist up front. He pumps and he spins with the ball. Now pushed by Shelton. Fumble on the turf. Patriots try to recover. They do.
Yeah.
Lawrence Guy.
Yeah.
Tanners to the left and left. Patriots are going to send the blitz. Wentz off the back foot. Throws to the end zone for Aguilar. He's open.
No.
Back in the end zone.
Drop
can't
it.
Hold on.
And that about does it.
You won the game in Philadelphia.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, Sarge is here. Sarge is here because we have a wrestler here.
That's right. It's like he's sniffing around.
He smells wrestling. He's getting things signed. Joe Murray actually got up, too.
Ricochet's the man.
We're going to have Ricochet in studio from WWE. Raw's in town, and he's going to be on in a few minutes. But Joe Murray said it best. He goes, if wrestlers were a stock, you would buy Ricochet right now. The man is on his way up and is going to be a star.
If I was a Sarge guy, I'd sell immediately. Bob Sosa.
I'm being told, by the way, the conversation that Sarge is asking about, Kowloon, right now.
There's some payola situation going on with you guys in Kowloon. Bob Sosa's hot takes are powered by Bigelow Tea. If you want to know what keeps Bob's voice in peak condition, it's his hot cup of Bigelow tea before every game. Hot takes and hot tea. One of those is true. Tea proudly. Bob Sosa, hello.
Hello. Good morning.
Okay, so after the game, Kyle Van Noy was snarky about something that Tony Romo said about him, and that he said that it was like a no-name defense and used Kyle Van Noy as an example. I don't think that's a ridiculous statement, nor is it a disparaging comment. Why so sensitive?
You know, I think that Kyle has developed a personality that I think thrives on those perceived slights. And I think it's a lot of it. If you're around him and you hear him, it's one thing to read it, and sometimes you see the soundbite and hear the soundbite, but I think for people that are around him all the time, and you get a sense that, you know, he's having a lot of fun with it, too. And I think that, you know, the Patriots have long been able, going back to Rodney Harrison, at least since I've really followed them as a team that's been dominant. And you know, when they've been favorites, Rodney Harrison could proclaim that they shocked the world. And so I think any perceived slight is something they have clung to. We certainly, I think, got a little jab last night in the post-game press conference at Lane Johnson. It looked like the Patriots were having a lot of fun out there. And I also noted that Bill Belichick a couple of times pointed to good players. When somebody followed up with a question about defensive adjustments, he said good players. And I was thinking back, maybe it was coincidence, maybe it was completely unrelated, but I was thinking back to a Sports Illustrated article after the Super Bowl when the Eagles offensive lineman, one of them said, yeah, when we watched the Vikings, we could see they had great players. before the NFC Championship when we watched the Patriots. You could tell they had great coaches. So, I think the words resonate, and sometimes they're exaggerated and taken out of context. It's interesting too, guys, because athletes often, if not all the time, claim that they either misquoted or their words are taken out of context. But you know, when it could serve the purpose and add fuel to the fire, it's not unprecedented for them maybe to do a little bit of the same.
Okay, just to keep people on what's going on, Sarge still talking.
Very nice. I'm sure we'll find out more details of that in a moment. But I do like when players talk, and I like when they talk trash. I mean, it's funny. I mean, you can. It definitely makes our job more fun when you find out what's on their mind.
And especially when they're the boogie.
Which, by the way, Devin McCourty called him out and said that he thought the name was dumb.
All right, good. Because you don't hear it
the
so
elder
much
statement,
now.
Yes. Right? He's like, all right, well, that's kind of stupid.
Come up with something better.
Sure. Or just don't give yourself a nickname.
It's okay to give yourself a name. Yeah. Steel Curtain, Purple People Eaters.
Listen, do whatever you... Whatever.
Hey, Miami was the no-name defense. Yeah. I mean, listen, you can do that.
Chips on shoulders are good things. They work. And, I mean, most of the time, you know, you hear... David Ortiz always had a chip on his shoulder. Pasta Joe loves potato chips. But that brings me to Tom Brady. And he's a guy who, you know, this year, more than any other year, he seems sullen about wins. And this is a team that's I mean, they've only got one loss. Yet Brady, this is the most upset I've seen him be after winning games than I ever remember him seeing. What's going to make him happy, and does he have the tools around him to be that offense that he apparently wants it to be?
Well, I don't think he has the tools right now up front and at a couple of other positions. Now, that doesn't mean to say that I don't think Isaiah Wynn is the be-all and end-all, but it certainly will help. The offensive line, I mean, last night he took some shots. And I thought what was interesting, and I don't know how it came across on television, when I looked at him at the podium last night after the game, I was sitting in the second row, I thought he looks like he just went 12 rounds with Mike Tyson.
Yeah.
I mean, he looked completely beaten. His left eye, it looked like it was almost closing. And then I went back, you know, he took some hard hits. There was one play that somebody shared on Twitter where I think it was Derek Barnett, the right defensive end, ran right around the Patriots left tackle Marshall Newhouse, who never even brushed him. And Barnett basically ran through Brady's back. And there were a couple of other hits. We got high load early in that game. Everything about the offense, with exception of that, you know, a bit of trickery and the fact that they had to resort to two trick plays relatively early in that game, one with the Burkhead pass to Brady, the double pass attempt there, and then obviously in the third quarter when they took the lead on the Edelman touchdown pass. I mean, just the fact that they had to resort to that in week 11, early in a game, it's a sign of just how dysfunctional this offense is compared to what we're accustomed to seeing. And it's the offensive line. It's still the tight ends to some degree, especially blocking. And with the wide receiver, there aren't enough guys who are getting separation who are able to get open. And Brady didn't have much time. He got a lot of contact early in that game last night. And he's always going to be displeased. He's never going to be satisfied unless it's a perfect performance. But I think this year there's just been far too many that haven't even come close to being quality performances offensively for his liking.
All right, the only reason I'm asking this is because it's back in the news again, because Rob Gronkowski said he's going to have an announcement on Tuesday. We all know it's more than likely not going to be that he's coming back. But how much do you think if he did come back, obviously considering that he hasn't played for a while, how much do you think he would help on that offensive line for Tom Brady?
Well, that's a great question, Rich, because one of the doubts that I have about Gronk coming back in the first place is just his physical shape. Not that he's in poor condition, but he's lost so much weight. Now, it could be a good thing in terms of, you know, him as a receiver. Maybe he feels like if he does come back, and I think it's a big if, that might make him more effective, and one might expect him to be more of a player like Ertz is, rather than somebody who's tight to the line like we're used to seeing him, and the way they would use him as a run blocker too. But having lost all that way, I'm not sure he could be the force that we've been accustomed to seeing. Even last year when he was struggling to get open and struggling to be a factor catching the ball, he was still a factor with his run blocking, and even when he stayed into pass blocking. And I wonder, in his lighter, smaller state, you know, if he could be that kind of player. And that's why I see there were a couple of plays last night. And again, it's hard to say it and see it, you know, when you're calling the game live or, you know, some of the few highlights. But there are a couple of times last night where you could see, like, for example, Lacoste blocking someone, but he can't sustain the block. And so that defender gets off that block and then makes a tackle. And what could have been, you know, 4 or 5 yard gain that goes for maybe one. And I think there's just too many of those plays that we see where four out of the five guys on the line maybe are doing their job, but somebody misses a block, and that's the player who prevents a productive play.
Hey, Bob, obviously the Patriots right now, they're a defensive team, and yesterday's special teams played very well. Of course, yeah. Bailey and Folk hit all his kicks, but the running game just continues to be an issue. Sony Michel, second year, first-round pick. Can we see Damian Harris at some point? You see what Josh Jacobs is doing, partner in Alabama. Is there any chance that he gets involved in the running game at some point?
Maybe a chance, Joe, but I think he's banged up a little bit today. And I think there's a reason we haven't seen him. He got nicked up a bit in the preseason, and I'm not sure he's at full strength right now. And as a rookie, you know, the thing about the Patriots and their run game, it's like Sony Michel's been disappointing. I think it's fair to say, but there's just so many factors involved, and I don't see where Damian Harris is the answer right now. They've got to be better blocking. They've got, you know, the scheming, there's a lot of trickery. There's a lot of misdirection. There's a lot of motion. There's not a lot of speed either when they do it. And that's just, you know, Zold comments on it regularly during the broadcasts that, you know, last year what we saw was a team that was a downhill running team. And they hit you hard and they hit you fast when they develop that identity late in the season. And I don't think that Damian Harris is going to be the answer there necessarily. I think, you know, he's a guy that it's his redshirt year in many respects, just the way it was for Shane Vereen back in 2012 and just the way it was for James White in 2014.
Yeah, Scott was when the Patriots were inside the five and they couldn't convert. Scott was very emotional. He was saying that it was good to hear. He was saying that, you know, just run it four times. I mean, what are you doing?
Yeah, I mean, look, you know, yeah, see, Fred, you know, look, like, you know, last year you had Devlin at fullback, for example. Last night you had Landon Roberts again, a linebacker, and Brandon Bolden lined up as fullbacks. And again, even like in the case of Roberts, you know, there are times where he's leading as a blocker, but he makes contact with that defender. He's you know, Devlin needs to drive guys backwards and create big holes along with that offensive line. And they're just not getting that right now.
All right. Well, listen, Bob Sosia, we appreciate your time. Excellent call of the game last night, and we look forward to talking to you next week.
All right. Look forward to it, guys. Thanks so much.
All right. See you, man.
All right. Take it easy. All right. Ricochet is a WWE wrestler who's patiently been waiting for us for an awful long time. I know he's here because Sarge is here. So Sarge may come in and sit on the interview because Sarge has already gotten his item signed, which is something that grown men do often. And we will have, I know, and then Joe Murray just loves Sarge, and he can be in here too.
Thank you. But
you're welcome. But we will have Ricochet in just a moment.
Weekday morning, 6 to 10.
That was horribly uncomfortable.
Toucher and Rich, mornings.
It was all taken out of context.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Ricochet on the top turnbuckle! After launching himself with that monster Hurricane Runner, 630 connects.
New champion.
Here we go. Yeah.
Ricochet has done it.
One and only.
The Sports Hub or Toucher and Rich. Tonight, WWE presents Monday Night Raw at the Garden. Seth Rollins versus The Fiend, Bray Wyatt, is happening. You will see the women's champion, Becky Lynch. If I can ask you, Rich, to please hand this to Ricochet.
Oh, yeah.
And,
so,
and
So Becky Lynch was in studio. This was before she was married. And that is obviously a flirtation, correct?
It might be. I'm not sure.
She's biting her lower lip and smiling. That is.
She just doesn't want to be rude.
You can be not rude and not bite your lip. I mean, my Lord. Please, Ricochet, you're not endearing yourself to me at all.
So, Ricochet, you have sitting to your left two, obviously, they're huge fans of yours. Joe Murray, who is, I think you guys have already met.
Yeah.
And then immediately next to you is a guy by the name of Sarge, who works here at the station. Now, what has your interaction been like with Sarge this morning so far?
Well, it's been great. What are you talking? Why?
Okay.
I just had to sign a couple of pictures.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How many pictures did you have to sign?
Four, right?
Four or five, yeah.
Now, why does he need four or five photos? Did he tell you that?
It was for different people.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. One's for me. One's for Jay Stu, who could not be here. One is for the Wong father and his fine institution as well.
Okay.
There we go. Yes.
So there was...
And there's two more to go.
Well, I gave one to Joe. He's going to hopefully do it. And Bird. Give one to Bird.
Yeah.
Bird's a big fan.
All right.
So, Bird man.
Yeah, it's been great.
And
yeah. Was it?
How quickly did he mention Kowloon?
Pretty quick, right?
Pretty quickly.
Have you ever been?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Like once or twice, actually. Twice, nice. I think. Yeah.
Now make it three times.
Hopefully tonight it's be three times. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. Okay, so this is weird. So every time a wrestler comes up, they invite them to Kowloon.
That's great.
Which is great. I know the food's awesome, I'm sure. But do you find it strange that the invite comes from him and not the guys from Kowloon itself?
Well, he couldn't be here.
Yeah, I'm sure if the guy was here, he would say it, right?
See, Ricochet's got my back, so...
Yeah, I would have... Unless the guy's like, dude, stop inviting these people, guys.
No. I think
Rich, can you introduce him to who Sarge is? By...
Well, I'll have to find it. I mean, give me a second.
All right.
So quickly, Survivor Series is coming up this week. We know the traditional Survivor Series matchups. I believe you're on. You have Team Raw.
Team Raw, yeah.
And we have Team SmackDown. You being a part of it, I know the Seth Rollins angle is going to be going on tonight, but did you watch? Were you a fan years ago? And are you into the whole traditional Survivor Series matchup?
Yeah, I believe I got it. They say the big four, I guess.
Survivor Series, SummerSlam, WrestleMania, Royal Rumble?
Yes.
Yep.
I feel like Survivor Series is always like overshadowed by the other three, but Survivor Series has always been pretty cool, I thought. Mm. Yeah, you know what I mean? Like, I feel like... Obviously, Royal Rumble and WrestleMania and Survivor Series, they make these big, like not Survivor, but SummerSlam, they make like big spectacles, and they don't make as big a spectacle out of the Survivor Series one. I always kind of feel bad for it.
Would you like to see like an incentive for like the winner of the Survivor Series to have something on there?
Something, obviously, right? Yeah.
Yeah, like Royal Rumble, you get a shot at the title if you win.
Something, yeah.
Yeah, the Survivor Series, you should have something
maybe,
in there.
Too. Since it's like the last of the big four, maybe they get to... Some sort of something with the Rumble coming up. They have some sort of incentive. I don't know. Yeah,
number. They get to choose their entry in the Rumble
or something like that. Yeah,
mm-hmm. Just that'd be nice. Make it more incentive.
Yeah.
Sarge is so happy right now.
That's great. No, that's cool.
I feel like it's Christmas Day right now.
Sarge, are you happy enough to sing?
Uh oh.
Sarge, rocking out of Kowloon with Jay Stu. Sarge.
That's great.
Getting free Saga swings from Andy Wong. Sarge.
He's had a new career in this one.
That was many moons ago, Ricochet.
Oh, man. His life has changed a lot.
Yeah. All right, so a wrestling question, Ricochet.
Yes.
These guys watched in the 80s, back in the day. It was always about heavyweights. You know, the Hulk Hogan.
I was at WrestleMania 3.
Yep, he was there.
Nice.
But do you see a shift now with AJ Styles, Seth Rollins, and you?
Yeah, you're not a big guy. You're a small guy.
But do you see the shift happening now, and do you think it's something Vince McMahon wants at some point where athletic... smaller superstars are actually getting over these days?
I think as long as he sees just, I don't want to say like a profit, but if he sees like an upside to someone, I think that's all he really not cares about, but that's what he sees.
A discussion leaving Japan coming to WWE?
Coming to the WWE, I just felt like I basically did everything that I could kind of do on the independent scene and in through Japan and stuff, and I was just ready for like a new chapter in my life. So that's really the deciding factor with coming to the WWE. But yeah, as far as like there was a huge shift in the just the landscape of the WWE, especially with like the Balors and AJs and all those guys. And but yeah, I think as long as like he sees an upside and he sees that there's like some positive to someone, I no longer think he sees specifically size as far as just like, for example, because like Roman is a, especially compared to me, he's a huge dude, but compared to like,
Braun Strowman
or Brock Lesnar, he's not, you know, he's not as big as those guys, but so like, it just, it's, as long as he sees like an upside and like your Rollins and your AJs and your Balors and your, all those guys. So I think that's really what it comes down to.
Did the WWE pick your name?
No, I've been since day one.
Okay. And they liked it. They said, because I know that there's been, what was the movie, Beyond the Mat, where they had, and unfortunately, he's no longer with us, but it was when Vince McMahon sat down with a somewhat unknown wrestler at the time and said, we're going to name you Puke. And he described why.
Darren, because
he's passed. Yeah. But I mean, that is something that people on the outside looking in had never known that process before.
Right. No, yeah. That was honestly a concern of mine coming in.
Because you didn't want a dumb name. Because no one wants the dumb name.
Well, they actually had asked me to send them like a list of names in case, you know, Ricochet didn't stick.
What were your backup names?
I sent them, I sent them, because I like Miles Morales, the Spider-Man. So there was something with that. There was,
I'd say there's a licensing problem, I would think.
No, it was like Miles something. I had that, and then I had, dang, I forgot the list of names. I sent him like good 10 names that I was like pretty cool with. But I'm glad Ricochet stuck. I'm glad it, because I just, again, since day one, I've been this. So it's cool to kind of keep that. And I've grown the Ricochet brand for going on 17 years.
What was the worst name that you had to wrestle against? Like on your way up? Because I mean, I got to think that there's guys who just, you know, when you're first starting off, everyone's trying to think of their own names, and there's got to be some gems.
Steve Lombardi.
There was one of my first couple matches, maybe my first match, but there's a guy, like, they just picked a random name, and then they picked the name of one of the guy's cats, because one of the guy's name's cat was Hobbs. So his name was like Kevin Hobbs or something. And so it was like, and that was one of the reasons why I picked Ricochet, because they just gave him this random name, and he had to stick with that. And I was like, I didn't want to be that. So I was like, I'll be this.
How many people called you Ricochet?
I mean, I've gotten called Ricky, Rico, Ricochet.
Like, people just
Rico
read it.
Chat.
Now, do you get to pick your theme music? Because, I mean, the best way.
They had a whole
thing
going into that.
Hang on, Sarge.
Well, so his theme.
Sarge, remember
during the Bruins? The Bruins montage that was used on the Felger Mass show during the playoffs.
We have a theme song for you. If you want to hear it.
For me?
No. Not you.
Sorry.
I'll come out of that.
Okay. Because, I mean, back in the day, it was hysterical because before WWE like got the license to use real bands and stuff, they would like take popular songs and just like invert the couple notes and get away. Like there was a song that sounded just like Enter Sandman, but wasn't quite Enter Sandman.
Yeah.
And then there would be like, you know, one that sounded like a famous like, you know, metal song, but they just change a little bit of it. But now, like you
they
guys
have a whole
have
production and a whole crew that like goes into it now. It's crazy.
Is there anybody who gets pissed that they got like a lame like song?
I don't know. I feel like most songs nowadays are pretty cool.
Like Styles' song wasn't even made for him.
Yeah, it wasn't
and now it's
him.
Like one of the
same
biggest
with,
things.
I think Bobby Roode was supposed to be
not even made for them,
first, but now it stuck with them. Yeah.
So how often a week do you wrestle? Like what's your schedule like?
Usually like Friday through Monday. Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday. Yeah.
Okay, and then you got to go do press, obviously, in the morning.
Yep.
So the schedule has got to be incredibly grueling. It's got to kind of suck in a way.
I mean, yeah, they always say, like, we wrestle for free, and then we get paid to do the other everything else, whether it's the travel or, you know, so.
And weren't you just in the UK?
We were all over the UK. I mean, we started in Manchester, and then we went all Leeds and like Aberdeen, and then we went to Glasgow, Scotland, and then Germany.
Care to comment on the Saudi Arabia stuff that happened?
Oh yeah.
I mean, there's nothing to talk about. I mean, what you know is probably the same thing we know. You know what I mean? We just
travel issues.
Yeah, like I said, I've been there twice so far, and each time
there was an issue. Supposedly,
I've been catered to very well. Like I said, great hotels, great food. Food was great, actually, so good. People at home are asking me, how's the food? I'm like, oh, the food's actually really, really good. But, I mean, yeah, we had we got stuck and with some mechanical issues, and then we got home. Like, I never felt in danger or anything, so you guys know
just,
what I know.
Just quickly, we know Survivor Series has NXT involved. You were part of NXT,
yeah.
Got the big call up here. We know about AEW and what they're doing now. You just as a wrestler and in the business, do you love what's happening? Ratings war, all that, and do you like to see NXT on the map now?
Yeah, I'm super glad that NXT is getting more and more recognized, because just the group of guys and girls down there are just doing everything they can to make it as popular as possible. And so, I'm so glad that, I guess, whether it was or wasn't through the AEW thing or not, I'm just glad that NXT is out there and it is getting some highly deserved facial time.
Did you see the match the other day? They were showing us where the guy got the darts thrown at his back.
What was the name of that?
That was the AEW.
Beer Boys or something.
Moxley, and
so it was like a fat guy, and they kept throwing darts at his back.
Something different.
Oh, different. That was something else.
So you never had to, on your way up, did you ever have to do any of those super violent matches like that?
I've never won
hardcore.
My very first match ever, I got hit with one of the fluorescent light tubes.
Ooh, yeah. And it's a real one, right?
Yeah, I was 14 years. It's in the back.
And you were 14.
It was the day I turned 15, actually. So I was 15.
Yeah.
But then, actually, my very last match in the independents at PWG out in Los Angeles, I landed on some thumbtacks. But other than that, I think my entire career, other than your tables and your ladders.
Right.
I never did any of those matches.
Did anyone ever try to get you to do that? And you're just like, that's not my style, man.
I don't think anyone actually ever tried to get me to do any of that stuff before. I think because I was always just the kid who did flips, so that's the matches they put me in.
Okay, so because you were specialized, that's right. Because if you can do the flips, that's your entertainment, right?
That's what I said. We did the tables and the ladders and matches like that, the TLC matches, but the light tubes and the barbed wire and the glass and all, I never did any of that.
Who do you think is the greatest of all time?
No, that's difficult. What do you mean?
Give me your favorite and the greatest.
My favorite is The Rock. He's always going to be my number one.
Give me a Mount Rushmore. Go ahead.
And then I feel it's arguable because you could go Shawn Michaels.
Shawn Michaels, yep.
You could go Kurt Angle.
Yep.
Everyone says Ric Flair. For me, the greatest arguably is between Shawn Michaels and Kurt Angle for me. All around.
Respectable answer.
Total package. Those two, I feel like, are arguably.
Just one thing, creative. Do you have any? Is there any control anymore? We heard years ago that the people were involved with creative, but for you, is it just showing up, working hard every day, or?
Everyone. It feels like everyone online, all the fans are pretty upset with how they are using me, but I feel like they're using me great. And as far as
AJ Styles off the bat, right?
Dude. And Samoa Joe. And
I'm going to say by this time next year, you're going to be a champion. World heavyweight champion.
You're going to buy stock in a wrestler, Ricochet.
Right here, Ricochet.
I don't know about that. I don't know.
You're on your way, man.
As far as promos and stuff go, I feel like I have a lot of input, so it's good.
All right. Well, everyone, go out tonight to the WWE Presents Monday Night Raw. Will you gentlemen be there?
TD Garden.
We'll be there.
Pope Catholic?
I don't know.
Yes, we'll be
not if you ask my mom.
Oh, come on.
Yeah, he's very too.
She's not like the new Pope.
There's a beer, liberal. You know what, in the woods. So how's that? All right. We'll be there.
Are you Andy Wong taking you?
Yes.
Yes.
Nice. No,
do you have a suite?
We do.
Mm-hmm. Nice.
This guy, Andy Wong.
So when you get on the top
Wong
roof, tonight,
man.
You got to find us up on the fifth floor tonight.
All right. Well, you can see women's champion Becky Lynch, who visibly flirted with me. I don't know what's so funny about that. But do you have AJ Styles, Ricochet, who has been here, Charlotte Flair, and the rest?
Woo!
Tickets available at the TD Garden box office and Ticketmaster.com. Sarge only has a couple dozen more things for you to sign, if you wouldn't mind.
No problem.
All right.
Thanks so much, Ricochet. We appreciate it.
We do appreciate you coming in. All right. We will be right back. Here are the headlines.
98.5 Sports Hub.
Now it's time to get to the stuff that we couldn't get to. It's the stack.
985 The Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. Rich, what have we not gotten to today?
Okay, I always love doing this, especially with you. Billboard's Hot 100 Top 10 Songs of the Decade was just released, okay? These are the biggest songs in music from the end of 2009 to right now, to the end of 2019. The ones that had the most downloads, the ones that had the most spins on radio, all combined, and they have crowned one song the Song of the Decade. Fred, just before I even start doing this, do you think you can guess what songs are one of the most popular songs of the last 10 years?
I think I can get one.
Which one?
Shake It Off or Shake It Up by Taylor Swift.
That is not on there, Fred.
Oh!
That is it's a decent guess, though. That is a decent guess. Not on there.
Oh, well, Dan just told me one that's for sure.
What's that?
Old Town Road.
Old Town Road. That comes in, Fred, at number 7. The old Lil Nas X. Now, Dan, don't give him any more. Don't give him any more. That is number 7.
That's my guess.
And the thing I'll say about that is that this could continue. I mean, you know, people are still listening to it. People are still downloading it.
Right.
So can you take a guess at any other song?
Okay.
If you cannot, I will play the song, and I want to see if you can tell me who the artist is.
All right, I cannot name another one.
Now, the first one, I have a feeling that you're going to be able to name.
Okay.
This one is number 10. There's no way you don't know this.
I know this song. Is that Adele?
That is Adele.
Okay. There you go, baby.
It's not going to get any easier than that, Fred.
All right. Bring them on. Daddy's a millennial.
This song I actually would have guessed as being the number one song because I know that I'd set some record on YouTube, Fred. Who's this?
Is that Rat?
Yes. This is off the Dancing Undercover album from Rat.
I have no idea.
It was right after Way Cool Jr.
Where they got super bluesy?
This is Justin Bieber and Daddy Yankee, Despacito.
Oh, if it wasn't Bieber, I would have gotten it. Because I'm really into Dancing Yankee.
Yeah, has there ever been a song that was huge and it was played everywhere and you just can't understand why?
Yes, my entire life.
All right. The number 8 song on Billboard's top 10 songs of the decade is this one. And if you know who does this, I actually knew who it is. But if you knew who did this, God bless you.
Somebody that I used to know.
I've never heard this song.
You've never heard this?
Yeah, you have.
Like about 3 years ago, it was everywhere.
I don't know where I would have heard it, though.
Dan says he thinks it's 2012. I thought it was like 3 or 4 years ago. It could have been. And then like that, he just disappeared.
Is it Duncan Sheik?
No, Duncan Sheik, that's Barely Breathing, the follow-up to that one. No, it is Gautier.
Oh,
Gautier.
Of course.
That song was everywhere, it sucked.
When Fonzie, there was an episode where Fonzie met a jazz musician, and he goes, Gautier.
Mm. Yep.
Yeah, you keep that in the box.
Fonzie joke.
Mentioned to know what the other song is.
So that is number 8, Gautier featuring Kimbra, because you can hear Kimbra really well on that. Old Town Road was number 7. 6 on the top songs of the decade. Can you guess who this is?
No, I have heard this because they played this at the gym.
And this song
it's the smelly girl, Kesha.
No. Come on, man.
I'll give you a hint. It's one of the biggest pop stars
with Miley Cyrus,
the highest paid DJ in the world.
Can I give you a hint? Like another song that she sang? Umbrella?
Yeah. I hate this song.
See, I like this song. I got a problem with
it. Your brain has become fried. Over the last couple of years with your music, this garbage.
Come on. Pop, rap,
slut
star.
Did you just
Brella,
say?
Brella. Hey. You know who that is.
Cardi B?
No.
Rihanna.
No.
It's Rihanna.
I don't know anything about
And it's
Rihanna.
With Calvin Harris, who makes almost $1.5 million a night with his new residency in Vegas.
I hate that song. I hate it.
Well, if you
and every time you somehow go somewhere for once in your lifetime to exercise, they torture you with that crap as if it's supposed to inspire.
Number five on the top ten songs of the decade according to Billboard. Fred.
Ew.
Oh, you know who this is? Like you, yeah, yeah, girls like you,
live on the guy, like do what I want when I come. I know the voice.
You know how many times you probably dreamt about this band? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
Fifth Dimension?
It's the five!
Oh, it's Maroon 5?
Maroon 5. No, no.
I've heard this song, but I...
Cardi, everything I say is rhymes with party.
Every time that he sings, I just think of those sweet butterfly tattoo, and I get a boner.
All right, how about this one? Now, this one is number four on the top songs of the decade by Spins. I mean, they sold. So baby, pull me closer in the backseat of your Rover. This song was everywhere.
Is there a chorus?
Yeah.
This is, and it's music. The chorus is the actual keyboard coming out. And this is the second highest paid DJs in the world.
I've never heard this song.
Yes, you have. You've gone to a grocery store.
No, I haven't. I haven't been in a grocery store in five years.
Then you haven't gone to a sporting event or anything.
I don't pay attention to what's going on.
That is the Chainsmokers with Halsey, and that is a song called Closer.
Okay.
That is number four.
Is Halsey the one that had the rap with her boyfriend, which wanted you to kill everyone in the room?
I don't remember that. I'm not sure. Okay. All right. Number three, the top 10 songs of the decade. This is number three. I'm in love
with the shape of you. This is Justin Timberlake. I know this song.
This is a guy who puts on the weirdest live shows ever. Like, so strange.
This isn't Justin Timberlake?
Might be one of the wealthiest performers right now in the world.
Yeah.
If he came here, he would sell out Gillette, no problem.
Oh, is that Ed Sheeran?
It is Ed Sheeran. Ed Sheeran goes on stage with just an acoustic guitar.
That's what fooled me.
There's nobody else on stage but him, but there's a band and stuff. He plays in front of bands, essentially.
Pretend you don't know any of these songs.
Scott, that's the bit. Now, I'm like being cool.
Now, Zolak definitely knows this. This is the number two song of the decade, according to Billboard. Fred.
LMFAO. I know that. I know that.
And Fred, the number one song of the decade. This is all according to sales and spins, and this one actually makes sense. Can you, any guesses? This song was massive. I'll tell you when it came out. It came out when we were in Phoenix for the Super Bowl.
Oh, so it was something miserable.
No, this song was actually... And you, I think, legitimately like the song. I like this song.
Is it Panic at the Disco?
No, it's not Panic at the... No. Put it this way. If this guy played every Super Bowl show, I wouldn't have a problem with it.
Oh, yeah.
Song of the decade, according to Billboard.
Yeah, I know. Don't believe me, just watch. Good performer. Plays instruments.
Yep. Writes his own stuff. Got no problem with him.
Bruno. Why can't I not think of his first name? Bruno Mars.
There you go. Nailed it.
All right. Well, listen. At least it wasn't that effing band from Alaska. Where's the Mr. Postman song?
Oh, that was like last decade. Yeah, it was this decade. That was the best Portrait one of the 1950s, actually.
Hey, I can't remember this for kicks, man. Really? You know what I like to do for rebellion? Strangle you. I'm a rebel just for kicks, man. I want to put you in a room just with hungry rats. Oh, my God, I hate you. Oh!
Skip.
All right, we'll be right back. We'll find out what Zolak... Oh, man, it's poison. It's just rat poison. All right, cool. No, you're singing like it's 1950. And by the way, nice voice. Would you sit around the garage and invent that? All right, we'll be right back.
The games are only half of it. Thatcher and Rich, 98.5, the Sports Hub. You know-
What happened in 1986? What the hell are you so excited that would
Madonna, Top Gun.
I think Teen Wolf came out, maybe.
No, is Berlin, that when
Challenger
Gun.
Blew up? Like, what are you getting crazy about 86 for?
86 is one of the greatest years ever.
Why?
That's the year I came out of high school.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. Top Gun was released that summer. Bruce Springsteen, Born in the USA. Everything. Reckless, Bryan Adams. That was the summer of music, bud. Now, just drove around in my iRock and just cranked that. Ready for the World, all that stuff, man.
Did Reckless have Cuts Like a Knife on it?
Yes.
Reckless okay. was a
summer of 69, man.
Yeah.
Me and had some guys from school.
Run to You?
Oh. I want to run to you.
Run to You, underrated.
Heaven.
Heaven's a great song, too.
Thinking about
you're throwing the word great a lot.
Poison, everything was, man, it was badass. That year was badass.
Poison was 87, I think.
Somewhere in there, yeah.
Well, look what the cat dragged in, and I thought that they were women.
I had
like tough.
I had the greatest 20 cassette holder box that I kept in my car and just kept sliding them in that deck.
Zoe Jams 86 on the TDK.
Yes, did you have to take the deck out when you were like parked?
No, I slept in the front seat.
Protect the Blaupunkt?
Where do you put the T-tops of the windows?
I used to have to take my radio out of my car. It had a handle that you took the radio out of your car so it wouldn't get broken.
Yeah, that was to protect the Blaupunkt.
All right, what do you guys got going here today? They're going to talk about the game of football, ladies and gentlemen. And that'll do it for us. We have Mike Gorman on the show tomorrow and so much more. That'll do it for us. Bye.
From the Town Fair Tire Studios, Boston's home for sports.
Roto-Rooter.
Plumbing problem? Leaks are no match for DIY duct tape.
And a wrench. And a towel. More duct tape. A hammer. This random tube I found in the basement. Another bucket. More tape. A little more tape.
Perfect.
Maybe leave plumbing to the pros at Roto-Rooter.
Roto-Rooter.
BackstageCountry.com. Your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' on You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.